singing to him.
Truly the Lord has been good to all of us. We must all, as we look into our past lives and examine the experiences that we've had, we must say that God has been good to us. I'm very thankful for the privilege that is mine that came about with a lot of extenuating circumstances. I'll not go into that. I just like to confirm the fact that I love each one of you here. Some of you, I don't even know your names yet. But there's one thing I know about you. You love my Lord. Now, I love you because you love my Lord.
Amen.
I don't really know as yet, Brother Johnson, what I want to talk to you about. But I'd like to read just a little bit of scripture, if I might, in Paul's epistle to Philemon, one of the very shortest of Paul's epistles. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. I think that it's important for us to be laborers. Paul said, we then as workers together with Christ beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness of mind. Our fellow laborer, and to our beloved Epaphras, Archippus, our fellow soldier. Now, there's two different expressions used here. One was a laborer, another was a soldier. Both of these expressions are used commonly in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul told Timothy upon one occasion, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be soldiers, to be a soldier. We know about the armor that the soldier is to wear and all of those things. But we notice here that we have a fellow laborer and a fellow soldier. Some people are to be laborers and some people are to bear arms. I think that all soldiers are to be laborers. I think that all soldiers are to be brave. Certainly we believe that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever notice how that the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus Christ? Let's notice him in Galatians. As he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, that's a possessive pronoun, is it not? That means he belongs to me and he belongs to you. He's ours because God gave him to us. We're his because God gave us to him. There is a mutual ownership between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is by the grace of God that you are what you are. As Paul said, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And the grace that was bestowed upon me, he said, was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored. Fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with us. Fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not all men without exception, because every time it does, what does it do? It brings something. Every time the grace of God has ever appeared unto me or to you, it's brought something. It brought salvation. And it also taught you something. It taught us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The reason that we are not effective as a laborer is because we fail to walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We fail to turn away from these things that we should be turning away from. In order to be an effectual laborer, we must be knowledgeable of what God would have us to do. Let's see. I believe we find the Apostle Paul saying to the Corinthians, do we not? He said, according to the grace of God that is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. What did he say? Buildeth thereon. What is a builder? That's a laborer. That's a man that's constructing something. That's a man that is doing something that is beneficial, something that will house, something that will give a place of abode. Oh, you remember there was an Old Testament text. Let me just get that right quickly. Back over there, you remember Nehemiah, whenever that he and his brethren went back to build the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, they had enemies. Oh, yes, they had enemies. Their enemies told them, you can't do that. You just can't do it. Even if you start to build those walls, you little old feeble Jews, if so much as a fox runs up against that wall you build, it'll just fall down and crumble to nothing. But you know, Nehemiah didn't listen to that. Nehemiah had a work to do. He had a wall to build. Children of God, you've got a work to do. Don't let the world tell you what you're going to do will fall apart. It's not a benefit. It's not any worth to it. Don't allow them to tell you things like that, because let me tell you that you and the Lord makes a majority. The Apostle Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me. Have you ever felt like that you just didn't have anybody stand with you? There was one of God's servants got to the point one time that he said, Lord, they've dug down your altars. They've killed your prophets. And I'm left alone, and they're seeking my life. You know that fellow didn't know the power of God? Oh, he didn't know the power of God. God said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Fellow laborers and fellow soldiers, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I quoted you a while ago where it said, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder why he called him the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he called him the Lord Jesus Christ because that definite article, the, tells you there's not any other. And the apostle tells us again that there's no salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't gotten down to the part of the text that I really want here, but I'll just go ahead and go along carefully here. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I'm thankful this evening that I got to had the privilege of hearing what I call my favorite song. That last song you sang was my favorite song. God has been my refuge daily. I've never been through a day that I didn't need a refuge. God has been my hiding place. Oh, how I need a hiding place. He will ever lead me onward. He'll take me home at last. What comfort that brings to my heart this evening. As I realize that he will lead me onward and he will bring me home at last. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints. Paul had been hearing some things. You know, somebody tells us that this was just one letter from one man to another man. It was primarily, but he addressed some other people too, didn't he? He may address some other people in it, and not only was it from him, it's also from Timothy. A communication. Hearing of thy love and thy faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a text that I wanted to talk to you about this evening. I'm sorry it took me so long to get there. But nevertheless, here's the thing that I want to talk with you about. Now then, he said upon this occasion that I'm praying for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. I've heard about your love. I've heard about your faith. And I've heard about the way you love the Lord and how that you love His saints. You know, if I truly love Jesus as I should, and you truly love Jesus as I should, we love His saints. We love His children. We love His people, because we cannot really truly love Him unless we love our brother, can we? I believe we find in the Scripture where it says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? Now, that's not quoting verbatim, but that's the essence of it, isn't it? If you do not love your brother whom you have seen, how is it that you can love God who you have not seen? So love definitely has got to be one of the greatest subjects that there is in this hope. Now then, he's talking about communication. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How is my faith going to become effectual? Paul was desirous that Philemon's faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you, and it's in Christ. You know, Paul, whenever he began to talk to the Ephesian brethren, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What did he do? He blessed us with spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. We find those heaven, we see those, they bring us into heavenly places. According, says the Lord, says the Apostle Paul, according as He, the Lord, hath chosen us in Him, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. What in the world are we going to do? How is it then that we're going to be effectual? How is it that we're going to be effectual? That's what I'm talking with you about here this evening, the communication of thy faith. I believe we find him saying elsewhere, he said, It's in Galatians. The last chapter of Galatians. The word communication is what I'm looking for. Galatians 6 and 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. There's some good things. That's what I want to get there. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. And there's a great deal of latitude, shall we say, in that word communicate. Let me put it to you this way. One time the Apostle Paul said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we should reap your carnal things? He's saying here, what he's telling the brethren here in Galatia there, is if you have received spiritual things, then you're obligated, and it'll be your pleasure and your joy to communicate to that one who brought those spiritual things to bear in your carnal things. It's not a great thing if your pastor reaps your carnal things. If indeed and in truth he has sown unto you spiritual things, you've only done what the Lord requires of you when you have communicated unto Him. So let us communicate. And that doesn't mean just talk or converse. That means to prove your love. Not just by your word, but by in your deed and in truth that you might do that. The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. What is it that's good in you? Well, we go to the Apostle Paul, and we find him saying something about good things, don't we? Oh, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. But the thing of it is, we've got to find out if we do have something good in it, where it came from, and what it is. Then we can tell people about it. Let's go to the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, and we'll find the Apostle Paul said, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So what is it that's good in you? It's the Holy Spirit. It's that Spirit of God, that quickening Spirit, that which delivered you from the power of bondage of sin, and brought you into the glorious light and liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's good in you. You know, we're just like those old water pots that those Jews had sitting thereby, filled with those firkins of water. Just an earthen vessel. That's all we are, an earthen vessel. Nothing in them, nothing unusual, nothing glorious about it. But the Lord, whenever He told those people to fill those water pots to the brim, fill them up to the brim. And then He told them to bear to the governor of the feast. And the governor of the feast turned to the bridegroom and he said, "Why, you know, you're kind of broken with custom here. You're not following the custom that we normally have around here. I don't know about your custom over here in this part of the United States. I'm further away from home than I've ever been in 58 years. This is the furthest I've ever been from the house, and I sure do feel like a stranger here. But I tell you one thing, friend, when I come on this ground, I didn't feel like a stranger anymore. When I first talked to your pastor, the very first thing I did was grasp his hand, the warm greeting. I knew I was from my own friend. I knew I was at home, though it's a long way from home. I thank God for His people. All wonderful people that have this love shed abroad in their heart. It's a wonderful thing to be among them. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you." The Holy Spirit is in you. "Don't you know," says the apostle, "don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own, but you're bought with a price? And for that reason," he says, "glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His." Oh, may I glorify God. May there be a communication of my faith. You know, the apostle told, and you're familiar with this scripture, I'm quite sure you find in the first chapter of the Roman letter. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed." And he didn't even want Timothy to be ashamed either, did he? He told Timothy, he said, "Don't you be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Purpose and grace was with Him before the world began. Grace was treasured. You didn't know anything about it, but grace was treasured before the world began. "Blessed be the God and Father then of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." May this be the truth of the matter. May we rejoice as we see the things that has done, that the Lord has done. I lost my text back over there. Maybe I'll come back to it in just a moment. "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging." Acknowledging. The way to make your faith effectual is to acknowledge what's in you. To acknowledge what's in you. That Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That Holy Spirit of God. You know, back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus was here, there was Jews that went about saying that they loved the Father and they honored the Father, and they denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like that this may be true among Primitive Baptists to great an extent. That we tell people we believe in and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes we deny the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that no man speaking by the Spirit can call Jesus accursed. Neither can any man to say that Jesus is the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. It's going to have to be through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If indeed and in truth you acknowledge Jesus, it's going to be through the Holy Spirit. Is that not right? I believe that's correct. through the Holy Spirit that you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Let me get back. I know I believe I quit over there in Romans, first chapter of Romans, too quick. Let's get back over there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God under salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, you know what a believer is, don't you? Sure, you know what a believer is. You know a believer is a child of God. You know a believer, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. 1 John 5:1. We know that he is. We know that he's born of God because he couldn't acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit that enables him to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. You can't say that Jesus is the Christ, but by the Holy Ghost. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit talking in you. That's what it is. So then, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God under salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in what? In the gospel, in the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, therein is a power of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who is it that lives? It's the just that lives. Who is it that truly living in this day? It's those that live by faith. That scripture, the Apostle Paul quoted in three different places. Spoke of that. And you'll also find it in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. That's the acknowledging of your faith. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Well, you know, I don't know where y'all sing that song here or not. It may be a stranger to you, but we sing it out there in West Texas. And begin by saying, amazing. 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 Grace. How sweet it sounds. Does it sound sweet to you? Does amazing grace really sound sweet to you? It saved a wretch like me. And I'm just as much a wretch as old John Newton was. He's not an outside case. You know, the first thing grace has got to do is tear down that old trusting man. Make you know that you're nothing, yea, less than nothing, and altogether vanity. Then you're ready for a Savior. Until you realize you're nothing, you don't need a Savior. But whenever the Lord brings you down and makes you know that you're nothing, yea, less than nothing, and altogether vanity, then you're made to cry out and say, God, save me, or I perish. Lord, save me, I'm sinking. Oh, yes, that's what we've got to say whenever we come to that. We need a Savior. Amazing grace. How sweet it sounds. It saved a wretch like me. Once was lost. I was lost and didn't know it. Then another grace taught me I was lost. I wasn't once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, yes, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I believe a text I lost a while ago, if I might go back there and get it, was the Apostle Paul. So when he said, for it is written, I have not seen, nor the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he said, God has revealed him unto us. Natural eye, natural ear, natural heart, natural man couldn't conceive those things. But he said, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's the way it's been revealed to you, by that Spirit that dwells in you. But then Paul says, we've got this treasure. Where is it? It's in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the knowledge may, or actually the power might be of God and not of men. That we might have the excellency of the power of God in this thing. Back to those old earthen pots over there I mentioned to you a moment ago. You know that was the first miracle that Jesus performed. Beginning of Jesus' miracles was turning water into wine. Those old earthen vessels. Let me ask you something. Whenever the Lord changed that water into wine, did it change the shape of those pots? Did it change the composition of those pots? It didn't change those pots in any way except what was in them. That was the thing that changed. What was in them? Now, I might get to a controverted point here, among Primitive Baptists way back yonder years ago, you know. Whenever we talk about this, it didn't change your old earthen vessel. It didn't change your body whenever the Spirit placed in it, except that it did bring it under rejection.
Amen.
It brought it under subjection. It changed it in that way. But I don't know about you people over here in Maryland, I still have sinful thoughts. I still do. Oh, I wish I could get rid of those old sinful thoughts. You know, they bring sorrow to me. Yeah, they just bring me all kinds of sorrow, but it still happens. But thank God I also have some spiritual thoughts. Thank God I also look beyond this veil and long to fly away and be with my Lord. Thank God I have those spiritual thoughts sometimes. Why? Because I've got a Spirit that dwells in me. Yeah, the Spirit that dwells in me makes me to rejoice with that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, let's just look at old Peter just a moment, if we might. First Peter, just a little bit. You know, after he'd addressed those strangers, told them where they're scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Asia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and so on. He said they were elect. What did that mean? That mean they were chosen, didn't it? They were chosen in God, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Yeah. And there was something else there involved in that too. Wasn't the Holy Spirit tied up in it some way there? First Peter, I'm sorry, I want to get just a little bit better than I can quote that to you just a moment. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit. You've been sanctified, friends. You have been set apart. You have been dedicated to a particular holy use through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. I love to preach obedience. You have been sanctified by the Spirit unto obedience. Obedience not to become a child of God, but obedience that you might enjoy being a child of God. Obedience that you might have the smiles and approbations of God upon you as you live this veil in this veil of sorrow. Now then, Peter says, upon this occasion, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to our Lord Jesus Christ. All of those words are important. The possessive pronoun our is important. The word Lord is important. Is Jesus Lord in your life, or is something else Lord in your life? Our Lord, His name was Jesus. Yes, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. He was also the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one to take away our sins. This is Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What did he bring again to us? To an inheritance. You've got something good in you. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4:4, was it not? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is it that's in the world? Oh, we know who it is out there in the world, don't we? Do we not? Are we not familiar? Yeah, that's old Satan walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he just delights in getting a hold of one of God's little children. Oh, he wants to get them down and just rub them in the dirt. He'll do it every time you give him a chance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. How do you know you got an inheritance? Oh, because you've got something dwelling in you. And that little thing that dwells in you that tells you that Jesus loves you. We sing a little simple song sometimes back there in Texas, and I just love it. It's for the little children. And that says, Jesus loves me. This I know. Oh, you know, that's the greatest thing that you could know. And there might be wisdom. You might have all kinds of wisdom, but I tell you, back over there in the Old Testament, I believe it's old Isaiah, we find saying, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows me. That he knows the Lord. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me. So little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. I used to think that I was talking about little children. But I got to looking at that one day, and I got to saying, I'm one of those little ones. Oh, I'm one of those little ones that's weak. Yes, I'm just like the old apostle over there that said, Lord, would you remove this thorn from my flesh? But the Lord said, when you're weak, I'm strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I inserted some words in there, didn't I? But I just wanted you to understand. The strength and the power of God is made perfect in our weakness. But he's forgotten you.